My topic for this morning is, of course, differences between rapture and revelation. But I'm taking this opportunity first to thank you for remembering me on the 25th anniversary of my commended service unto the Lord last month. There was one verse which confirmed my calling from the Lord, and that was taken from Luke chapter 9 and verse 3, or Mark chapter 6 verse 8. And the Lord commanded his disciples as he sent them out to preach the word that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. That was very clearly impressed upon me. No money, that I was to go out to serve the Lord without any appeal for support for me. So with that, I went out. And to confirm this, that the Lord really wanted me to go out without any appeal for support, I received just 1 or 2 months earlier an envelope like this, containing a gift inside. Now, I never expected this gift because it was anonymous. Now, what is so wonderful about this gift? Firstly, it confirmed that the Lord wanted me to go out without money, without thinking of appeal for support and so on. Just go out, serve the Lord. Secondly, this envelope has come to me since 25 years ago up to today, every single month, with a that small little gift inside to confirm with me that the Lord wanted me to go out without money, without appeal. That was what the Lord wanted me to do. And so I trusted the Lord, and throughout the whole 25 years, I've never breathed a word of appeal for support. The Lord has been very good. The Lord asked the disciples after they returned to him, "Well, you have gone out without money. Have you any regret for it?" And everyone said, "No." And today, 25 years later, I said, "No." Because every son, every month, this letter, this gift would come to me. 25 times 52, 1,300 weeks. 1,300 weeks, this gift, this gift has come to me. It's tremendous. The Lord provided. So with this, I say thank you to all of you for remembering me last month for the 25th anniversary of my commended service. And with this, I think I'll start. I'm to deal with this topic of the differences between the rapture and the revelation. And both have to deal with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before I deal with the differences, we must know certain distinctions. We must make certain distinctions on the terms used. For example, we must understand what is meant by the Jew, what is meant by the Gentiles, and what is meant by the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32, we are told that thou should not give any offense. Don't stumble any of these groups of people, the Jew, the Gentile, or the church. Primarily, therefore, establishing this important fact that the Jew and the church are different entities. The Jew has not replaced the church, and the church is not a replacement for the Jew, or for Israel, for that matter. That they are two separate entities. And as we shall find later on, the three of them, Jew, Gentile, and church, have got different programs as God has planned out for them throughout eternity. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. So Church of God and Jew are two different entities. They cannot be the same. The church has not replaced Israel, and Israel has not been cast aside. How did all this begin? Now, you remember that, of course, many of us would think that we descended from Adam. Now, it's true, while Adam was our forefather, yet his descendants were all destroyed by the flood, except for Noah and his family. And so, in actual fact, in reality, we all descended from Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The three sons. The descendants of Japheth went up north to form the nations in the north of Europe. The descendants of Ham went down south to form the African nations. And Shem went literally to form the Asian nations. And so from there, from Shem's descendant, we got Abraham. We got Abraham, who was called out. And from that time onwards, we have the nation of Israel coming up, known as the Jew. The Jew. So the Jew would be from Abraham right down. So from here on, there would be two separate lines. The Gentiles from the Japheth and Ham lines, and the Shem line, which would be the ancestors of the Jews. Now, God wanted them to become a nation, a holy nation, a royal kingdom, a royal nation of priests, if they obeyed. They did not obey. And therefore, God put them aside. God did not put them away. God put them aside. And God took up another group of people known as the church. The church will consist of Gentiles who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jews who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the church there will be neither Jew nor Gentile, but all are Christians as you and I. So there will be now three groups of people. One, the Jew, the church. Secondly, the Jew, which had been scattered out, as we shall see later on. And then the Gentile, forming the outer layer of this chart. And so we have the three groups of people now, the church, the Jew, and the Gentiles. God, through the church, taught the people of Israel and the world what it was to be like a holy nation and a royal priesthood. Because God said, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, you are a holy people. You are a royal nation, a royal priesthood. And so we find we form the church, the royal priesthood and holy nation. But there will come a time when God would take back Israel for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and God would take them back, and then he would punish them, and then after that, he would resort to his original purpose of forming a nation of priests and kings in the millennium kingdom. 1,000-year reign when Christ will reign on earth. So that roughly will give you the background of the Jew, the church, and the Gentiles. So that when the Jew was displaced, was put aside, the Jew was still existing outside, but they would come back to be under God's recognition and God's dealing when they have been punished for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. So, let us understand the meaning of all this. In time, God works according to his time. Now, for example, after the Lord Jesus Christ had resurrected from the dead, the disciples asked, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? God had promised them a royal kingdom, a holy priesthood, but they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and they knew that they had been rejected. Would you restore the kingdom? The Lord Jesus Christ answered, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons It is not for you to know the various periods of time that would come into pass. It is not for you to know when I'm going to insert, when I'm going to put in that particular of time and how long it will last. It is not for you to know. It's all in the power and authority of God. But there are definite times. There are definite periods. There are different times when God would insert that particular period in that line of periods, seasons, and times. For example, we have the times of the Gentiles. What are the times of the Gentiles? The times of the Gentiles would begin with, as we read in Luke 21:24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, what would that be? Well, that would refer to the time when the last king of Israel was taken captive. Was taken captive into Babylon and then continued to be captive under the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, until the very end. So all these were Gentiles, and there was no more king for Israel. Israel had been put aside. We have the times of the Gentiles stretching from Nebuchadnezzar right up to the end, when God will then bring the Gentile nations together and will punish them for ill-treating the Jews. So this will be the times of the Gentiles from the time of Nebuchadnezzar right up to the end of the Gentile age, when God will punish the Jews, the Gentiles. We have a second time, the fullness of the Gentiles. What is the fullness of Gentiles? Do not mix up the two together. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The fullness of the Gentiles is not the same as the times of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles is not that time when Israel is blinded, partially blinded, and cannot see God's program for them and God's destiny for them. And therefore, they have been put aside. And God has taken in the church, and God deals with the church. Until the church is raptured up, then God will take back Israel that has been put aside to his reckoning. He will punish them for crucifying and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, he will come again to restore them to the promise that he had given them before, that they would become a holy nation and a royal priesthood. The church would be taken up into heaven, and then God will punish the Jews in the tribulation, and then after that, he will save the elect and form the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Right, that's the fullness of the Gentiles. Don't mix up with the times of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles have reference to the church age, where the church was born up to the time when the church is raptured up. Then we have this, the church age, the mystery of the church. The church age is known as the mystery. Mystery. What is mystery? Mystery is not something that is mysterious. Mystery is a reference to something that was hidden in the past but now revealed in the present. And up to the time from the very beginning, to the time on the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, God had hidden this concept of the church. The Old Testament people never knew anything about the church. So do not find the church in the Old Testament, because it was hidden until such time, God would reveal to Paul the mystery, the revelation of the church, that it was first hidden in the past, but now revealed, that so that through the church might be made known the very definite purpose of God to all the world. Finally, we have the last time. Thus, in that dispensation of the fullness of times, when all and everything for the Jews, for the Gentiles, for the church, and all these times will come together, and then there will be the fullness of the times when the Lord Jesus Christ will be king and all will be subjected to him, and he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, that God may be all and in all. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. The Lord Jesus Christ does not come under the feet of the Father, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued upon him, unto him, shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all. This is the ultimate destination and goal and end of everything that is called a time and a time and a time. The times that we have discussed will all come to this accomplished peak of all the programs that God has planned for the world, for all time. Right. Having understood now the various times in the Bible mentioned, the fullness of times, the times of the Gentiles, and the times of the church, and so on, now let us come to our topic, the second coming of Christ. Many people think that the second coming of Christ is one event. And if you say that the second coming of Christ is one event, you are going to have a big, big problem. Why? As I'm going to show you later on, there are texts in the Bible, there are verses in the Bible, which seem to contradict one another, and they cannot definitely refer and point to one event. There must be two different events, and that's where we come to discuss the differences between the rapture and the revelation. Now, I explain to you what is meant by the rapture and the revelation. For the church, it will be the rapture. For Israel, it will be the revelation. And both have to do with the second coming of Christ. Both are referred to as the second advent, the second coming of Christ. So let us not be mistaken then. The church started at Pentecost, and we had the church age, the mystery of the church, not known to their people in the old covenant, but revealed to the people in the new covenant. At the end of the church age, the church will be raptured. All will be taken up into heaven. Then what is this revelation? It also is referred to as the second coming, as we shall see later on. It will be a time when two things will be revealed. The word revelation refers to precisely the second coming of Jesus Christ. But before the revelation of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel, not to the church, to Israel, there will be another revelation in the course of God's punishing the Jews, the Great Tribulation time. During the Great Tribulation time, there will be a revelation. The man of sin will be revealed, and he will try to get the people under him. So we must be careful of what we mean by revelation. By revelation, we mean where it has concern with the second coming of Christ. It has to do with Christ being revealed to all people so that they can see him. And that it will be to the Jews and to the Gentiles, not to the church, because the church would have raptured up into heaven. Then Christ, our God, will punish the Jews during the Great Tribulation, and then Christ will, because many people will be subjected to martyrdom, persecution, and many people will die, and unless Jesus Christ comes from heaven to deliver, then it will be difficult. And so the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and he will reveal himself. He will reveal himself to all, so that we read, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. And when they see him, they shall mourn, they shall repent. Because because they realized then that Jesus would be their Messiah. So both are referred to the second coming, but one is called the rapture with a reference to the rapture of the church up into heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, the other is a revelation when Christ will come on earth. Let us see the differences now. The differences between the rapture and the revelation in Scripture. Because the second advent is referred to in two different terms, we shall call, but still the same second advent or second coming, we shall therefore refer to the second coming under two stages, one for the church and the other for Israel. So do not confuse the two. The one that's for the church is for the church. Only the church will be involved. The other one is for the Jews and the Gentiles. All right. What are the differences? Let's start from the very beginning. Very basic, so that all of us can understand. Stage one, the rapture. Where do we read that? The word rapture is never found in the Bible. But we have the Greek word caught up in 1 Thessalonians 14. Rapture is from the Latin word rapturo, referring to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, caught up from the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize, sketch, pluck, pull, take by force. To take by force, to snatch, like this. All the people on earth who are Christians will be snatched up and taken up by force into heaven. The word caught up is the same word as found in Matthew 13:19. Matthew 13:19, we have the parable of the sower and the seed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in that parable that the farmer sowed the seed and some would fall on, well, not so good ground, and the devil would come and steal away the seed. The word take away the seed or snatch away the seed is the same word as rapture. Same word as rapture. We'll snatch away the thief, as the devil will snatch away the word from those who have heard but will not repent. So the Lord Jesus Christ will snatch away all those who are his. Why snatch? Why such a strong word, snatch? It's like seed. Because there are some people who do not want to go up in the rapture. They have got homes. They have got riches. They have got wealth. They have got property. They do not want to leave. So when the Lord comes, all his, like a magnet, must seize all that have the same life as the magnet, must go up. And so he must snatch them out, whether they like it or not, because they have his life. And therefore, they must go to be with him. No matter how you resist, you will go. It's the same word as in John 10:28. John 10:28, God says, those who trust in him have eternal life. And no one can snatch him away. The word snatch is the same word as rapture. No one can snatch him away. That's to show, just as the Lord can snatch those who are his to him, those who are his cannot be snatched away, because the Lord will hold them firm. As he says, I and my Father are one. The twofold grasp of the believer in their hands is very safe. Thirdly, Genesis 5:24 is just like we read of the record of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and it was not for God took him. That's the word snatched. That's the word rapture. Enoch was a picture of the rapture, for God took him, snatched him away from the civilization in his time. Right, like this. I wonder whether some of us have to be snatched away or not, because we have so many roots in this earth and in this world. Snatched away, gone. As fast as that, that is the possibility. All right, stage two. What's the difference? This is also the second coming. And I have to call it the revelation to make a difference between this and the rapture. Why? It's from the word revealed in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. What does it say? The term revelation refers to the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, how can this be the same as the rapture? It's impossible, because over here, the Lord comes to bring judgment upon all those who refuse him, to take vengeance upon him. How can you say you bring the Lord, the Lord will catch these people up for blessing? No. So this must be a different stage of the second coming. But still the second coming. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. It's his coming. He will come this time with his saints. He is not coming alone, as we shall see later on. And he will bring judgment upon all those who are on earth. And the word revealed is the Greek apokalypsis, meaning revealed, veil taken out, so that you can see what is happening. And you will see when the veil in heavens is parted, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ coming down with all his saints, and they will take action. But not please, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, verse 6, and verse 8. There will be another revelation. And as I said, it will be the revelation of Satan as the Antichrist, setting himself up in the temple to be worshipped by the people. And he will know, not he, knowing that his time will be very short, will persecute the Jews and all those who are true to the Lord. That will be a very difficult time, a time of judgment. And at the end, the Lord will come to save the Jews. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This second stage of coming has a sign. That day will not come until you see. But for the rapture, he is coming at any moment, any time, when you least expect it, he will come. But this one, no. The man of sin must first be revealed. Then the Son of God will be revealed, and he will come in judgment. Next one. As I said, the rapture is for the church. The Lord himself shall descend. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is in contrast to the revelation. Christ coming for the Jews, where we read, the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, shall look upon me whom they have pierced. It's different. As you can see, this coming is for the house of David, the Jews. It's not for the church. And they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. Christ comes for his saints for the rapture. Christ comes with his saints in Jude 14. In Jude 14, we read that Enoch prophesied, the Lord cometh with thousands of his saints. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Whereas for the church, the Lord himself shall come, not with thousands of his saints. He himself shall come. And then those who are dead will be raised together to be with him. He comes for the saints, but not with his saints. It involves the church. 1 Corinthians 5:51, where we read, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed, and we shall all be transformed and taken up into heaven. Whereas the revelation concerns Israel and the Gentile nations. Now, perhaps I would like to read those references. They are important to make clear what I mean. Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. And it reads, "When you therefore shall see this abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that will be the setting up of the idol in the temple. That will be the revelation of the man of sin in the temple. When you see this happening, run. And to whom was this written? To the people who have read the prophecy of Daniel. Who were the people who read the prophecy of Daniel? The Jews, not the church. It does not apply to the church. Now, what happens when you see this happening, when you see this revelation, and verse 16, we have finished. Verse 21, or chapter 24. "For then shall be great tribulation." Then shall be great tribulation. When these things happen, the Jews then will be, for their faithfulness to Jehovah, will have to stand firm, and when they stand firm, they will be persecuted, they will be martyred, many of them will be beheaded, and they will die. "For then shall be great tribulation." Here you have the time sequence. "Then shall be great tribulation after the abomination of desolation," or in the midst of the abomination of desolation. Then look at verse 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven." So we see, apart from the signs, the rapture will catch us by surprise. But for Revelation, there are all these signs. For then, and we get the sequence of events that will take place. All right. Thirdly, the third difference, for the rapture, he comes in the air. "We which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Those who are dead in Christ, they will be raised. And they will be the first to be raised. And after they are raised, then we who are alive, who are sitting here, shall suddenly be caught up to meet with the Lord. "Oh Lord, don't meet up yet. I still have got my money to enjoy. I still have my wealth. I still have my family. Lord, don't take me up yet." You can see anything you like. Up you go. That's what's happening. That is what happens when the rapture takes place. All will be caught up together. He comes in the air. He does not come to the earth. Whereas in Revelation, he comes to the earth. And we read Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, because they ill treat the Jews, the Gentile nations. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." You see the difference? How can the two second coming be the same? They cannot be the same. One is for definitely for the Jews, and one is for the church. Now, "His feet shall stand on that day," as it were, upon the Mount of Olives. And what will happen? The Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, shall split into two. So it's an earthly coming. It involves people on earth. Whereas with the rapture, the Mount of Olives remains the same and it will not be touched. When the church goes up, for example, today, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all of us sitting down there will be raised up and we shall go up in the air. Mount of Olives will still be there because it doesn't concern the Jews. It concerns us, the Christians. Mount of Olives is the significant mountain related to the Jews, and therefore the mountain is split to show the majestic coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But fourthly, he comes alone. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Whereas with the Revelation, we find, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Thousands of his saints. Where do these people come from? Remember, the church will go up to heaven, the rapture, And while the church goes up to heaven, raptured to heaven, they will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. They will be judged. They will, every one of us, have to give an account of how we carry out our stewardship. Every one of us. And then those who are faithful to him will be rewarded. Those who are not faithful to him, they will not be cast to hell. They will be ashamed that they have such a Lord, they have such a God who have saved them, who have given his life for them, and yet they can remain unfaithful to him. They can remain so untouched by his love that they continue to live their own lives. They shall be ashamed. That day, they will not lose their salvation, but they shall be ashamed because they have not been faithful to the Lord. All right. So, these people, after their judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, and as we shall see later on, will come together with the Lord, making up the 10,000 of his saints. So, the saints are us, the church. The Lord, my God, shall come, and all the saints with thee. You note that all these are quotations from the Old Testament. Zechariah is from the Old Testament, and Enoch, Jude 14, 15, is from the Old Testament. They are looking forward to the second coming of Christ, but not to the rapture, but to his coming, to rescue them, to deliver them from the persecution of the great tribulation. He comes for his bride. For the church, he comes alone, because he's coming for the bride. He's going to take the bride home, and there is going to be a wedding. There is going to be a wedding. And we read that in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where all these saints who have been resurrected will be welcome to enjoy the supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a wedding. After the wedding, then the saints will be ready to return from the wedding. And that's when we have 10,000 of the saints coming down to rescue the Jews. The rapture is a time of blessing. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort ye one another with these words. It's a time of blessing, time of comfort, time of joy, time of expectation and jubilation, when our sorrows will be no more, when we shall see the King of Kings. How glad. It is something that we Christians here today must treasure, must enjoy, and must not lose such kind of teaching and truth. It is said, when Christians teach that the rapture is the same as the revelation, and instead of expecting blessing and hope, they expect judgment to come. We must distinguish, make a real distinction between the two. The revelation is a time of judgment, when Christ will come to deliver his people Israel, who will be going through the great tribulation. Then Christ will deliver them, then they will go into the millennial kingdom, where they shall become the royal priesthood, the holy nation. All right, that will be when he comes and the battle of Armageddon takes place to deliver his people from the Gentile nations. Fifthly, it is private. The rapture is a private affair. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Who can see it? In a twinkling of an eye, as your eye twinkled, gone, snatched up to be with the Lord. It's as fast as that, faster than you can twinkle your eye. It's twinkling of an eye. So it is very fast, it is private. Nobody can see it, nobody can witness it, but of course, they will witness the disappearance, of a sudden disappearance of all people who drive cars, who pilot aeroplanes, well, and all sorts of things you can imagine. Suddenly, all no more. And then there will be catastrophe on earth as planes without pilots dive into the earth, and ships without pilots just go haywire, and cars go crazy, men go crazy, women go crazy. That will happen when the church is snatched up suddenly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The revelation is public. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him. Those who have pierced him, they will realize. And we read in Zechariah, they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. That's the time when Israel will repent, and God will take them back after the great tribulation. Then God will restore them the kingdom that he has promised them, which they rejected and because of their disobedience. Those in Christ then transformed in the rapture. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:52, we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. All of us will be changed. You have got a crippled leg. You have got an eye that is blind. You have got a ear that is deaf. All will be changed. All disappear. You'll be perfect. Oh, how glad that will be. Those of us who are infirm, let us take hope. This is our hope. This is our blessing that we are looking for. We must look for the rapture, not for judgment. We must look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we shall all be transformed in a twinkling of an eye, and we shall be caught up together to be with them to be with Christ in the clouds. Whereas, well, the Jews also will be changed. As I said, the Jews will go through the period of tribulation for their punishment of rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read, strangely, in Revelation 24 and 5, that John saw, perhaps I read for you, so that I can see better. I don't have the text there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, that would be during the great tribulation, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, that will be the man of sin, neither had received neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's why we have the millennial reign of Christ. But the rest of the dead live not again, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay, let me explain that. John saw in that revelation, in Revelation chapter 20, saints sitting upon the throne, and they were the saints who were beheaded for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who could they be? Most likely, they would be those who had passed through the great tribulation, who had been beheaded by the beast, by the man of sin, who had been martyred. They now stand embodied. The souls were sitting on the throne. But John could see them because they were embodied. In other words, they must have been resurrected. But when were these people resurrected? We don't know. It says, this is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. They must have been resurrected in the first resurrection. The first resurrection did not have to be one resurrection. The first resurrection, again, is in various stages. Example, the first to resurrect again in the first resurrection was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was resurrected from the dead. After that, there were the saints who were dead with him, who also were risen, who were raised together with him. We read in Matthew. So there was a second group of people who were resurrected. Then there were others who were resurrected. Stephen, the martyr, he was resurrected. So there were people who were resurrected in the course of it. And together with the tribulation saints, they were also resurrected. I would presume that in this first resurrection, a series of resurrection, which also includes the rapture in between, all these state various resurrections took place, and they are known as the first resurrection. Not one resurrection, but a series of resurrections taking place to be termed as the first resurrection. So all these will be there, waiting for the time when they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Right, let's go on. In the rapture, there were no signs. No signs are given. Anytime the Lord will come. Even now, while I'm speaking to you, the Lord can come. There is no sign at all. That's why all Christians must be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can come anytime. Don't think that he will delay. Whatever is in the world's condition, it does not matter. Even when he has decided for the time for him to intervene with that period of time to bring about his program for that event will take place and in no signs will be given. That will be reference to the rapture. Whereas with regard to the revelation, there will be signs. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, we read that there will be signs. There will be catastrophe in the heavens. There will be the sky being darkened and the sun turning blood into blood and so on. There will be signs for the second coming. But when it comes to the rapture, there will be none. All of a sudden, at the moment, all will be changed and all will be raised up. The dead in Christ resurrected, followed by the rapture of all to join him in the air and be with the Lord forever. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when he comes, all our fathers, ancestors, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in the Western Road Cemetery, suddenly you see all the tombs open up. And suddenly you see all, you won't see lah, because it's twinkling of an eye. All will be raised up and taken up to heaven. That's what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. What a glorious aspect. I'm not sure whether you are encouraged by it, you are edified by it, you are excited by it, or are you just one of those things? One of those things, Mr. Ang speaking the same old thing again. I hope this time I'm not speaking the same old thing. I hope this time I'm speaking enough to excite you to respect the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming and to be ready for him. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the promise that he will keep. How great, how grand. He will be faithful to his promise. In regard to the revelation, no resurrection and no rapture. There will be no resurrection when Christ comes for the Jews. All the Jews will just pass through the Great Tribulation, through their persecution, right into judgment. And then the Lord will set up his kingdom on earth. No rapture, no resurrection. If ever there was any resurrection, it would have taken place earlier, at various stages, as I explained earlier, when the Old Testament saints would be resurrected together to reign with him for 1,000 years. Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all. There will be no resurrection. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. They shall be judged for all that the Lord has brought to pass. So this is the revelation. And you see the great difference between the rapture and the revelation. Let me end with this. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see all these programs and these times recorded for us. Revelation is a book very easy to understand provided you have a key to open up that revelation, then everything is clear. But if you refuse to take into consideration the various programs that I have already listed out for you, and you want to confuse all this with one single event of Christ's second coming, then you'll get confused. Okay, let me show you now, give you a general analysis of this, of the book of Revelation. Chapters 1 to 3, the church. It has to do with the church, not the world, not Israel. Find the church only in chapters 1 to 3, where the Lord would be the one who is preeminent in the churches. He is the one who is the Lord of the seven churches. 1 to 3 has to do with the church. And you find the scriptures there have to do with the church indeed. Chapters 4 and 5, you read these words in chapter 4, verse 1, where the angel told John, come up hither, come up hither. 1 to 3, the church was in heaven. Chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither. That would be the rapture. The church would have been taken up into heaven. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, you will see the church in heaven, giving praises to God, singing the praises and the hallelujahs unto him. So when you read chapters 4 and 5, you will see the church in heaven. Don't confuse. You want to find out about this event that has taken place? Then, of course, you refer to the main text, the main passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. From chapter 6 to 18, large section of the book will be not the church there. Do not find the church in chapter 6 to 18. Do not apply text from this passage to the church. Let me show you. Chapters 1 to 3, the word church occurs again and again and again and again and again. The church of Thyatira, the church of Smyrna, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Ephesus, the church, the church, the church, the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit had to say unto the churches. The word church occurs again and again, again and again. From chapter 6:18, you cannot find in the word church there. The church is not there at all. You cannot find the word church there. Why? Because the church has gone to heaven. Come up hither. It's up in heaven. And who are the people in chapter 6 to 18? The Jews. The Jews going through the great tribulation. This will be the great tribulation. And that's why you see all the images of sufferings and persecution, because they refer to the persecution of the Jews when God will punish them for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. You see the church again. Last time, you see the church in chapter 19, when you read, the bridegroom will take the bride in marriage. And then the marriage of the Lamb will take place. And then there are those who are invited to the marriage. Who are those who are invited? Of course, the Old Testament saints. Those who are not in the church, they will be invited. And they will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is found in chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. After the marriage, then the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The Lord Jesus Christ comes with the church to rescue his people, the elect, from persecution, from the great tribulation. It says that if the days of the great tribulation are not shortened, none of the Jews will be saved. But God will come in at the right time to save his people from the persecution of the beast and men of sin. And God will save them, deliver them. But that will be the event described in chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, when Christ will come together with thousands of his saints to rescue his people. Appearance of the white horse rider and his armies in Revelation 19, 11 to 16. That is when the revelation in Revelation. Chapters 19, 11, 20 to 20, you have the church in heaven. After the marriage of the Lamb, you see the church in heaven now, praising God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then getting ready to come out of heaven to save Israel. Chapter 19, verse 12 onwards, they'll come out to save Israel. But you see now the church in heaven, no more in the church, and no more on earth. But they will come to reign over earth. They will come to reign over earth. For they will be the kings reigning in the kingdom, the 1,000 reign of Christ on earth. Chapters 20, 22, you find the events in the end times and leading on to eternity. So, you see, the book of Revelation is very easy to understand, provided you know how to analyze Revelation. You know which part applies to which group, and you do not get confused, because all these are very simplified. And the key to understand Revelation, book of Revelation, is, of course, chapter 1, verse 19. These are right, these which are written, which shall be come to pass now and thereafter. All right. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. We are at the end of this discussion. Will you be able to join me and join the saints and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. No, Lord, please, hold on. I've got something on this earth, yet I have got to enjoy. Are you able to say, Lord, even so, come now? Just for the sake of those who are interested, here are the references for you to know when you study the scriptures. Those texts which refer to the rapture and those which refer to the revelation, so that you don't mix them up. Once you mix them up, you get into a lot of confusion and a lot of problem in understanding and interpreting. Now, the standard way I take is that all the interpretation basically is literal. I treat every text as literal and not as metaphorical or spiritual. I don't spiritualize, but I take the word as it is. Unless the word itself is very clear to me that it is metaphorical in language, then I will treat it figuratively. Otherwise, generally speaking, all these prophecies I will take as literal. Just for your information. And here is a summary of the differences between the rapture and the revelation. One, it occurs before the tribulation. This I will prove next week, all right? It occurs after, revelation occurs after the tribulation. Rapture, Christ comes for the saints. Revelation, Christ comes with the saints. Rapture, Christ takes the saints to heaven. Revelation, Christ comes with the saints to earth. Four, Christ returns to the clouds. Revelation, Christ returns to the earth. Five, and to reign on earth. Five, Christ is not seen. Revelation, every eye shall see Christ. Rapture, it is the blessed hope of the church. Revelation, it is the great day of his wrath and judgment. So here are the differences. When you read scripture, learn to divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must know how to rightly divide. And don't spiritualize and put in your own thoughts. Read the word for what it is. So, roughly speaking, this is a program. First, you have the church age. After that, the church is raptured. The Jews will be under tribulation. And then after tribulation, Christ will come with the church. And Christ will judge the nations. And then he will set up the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. This roughly is the program for the whole time. So, with this, I end. You can read about the rapture. I have no time now, but I just say this. Read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, 18, about the rapture, and you can see the difference and what it is. Okay, with this I end. Thank you very much for listening. Hope to see you in the rapture. Don't be left behind. Next week, this is our study. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. Lord, don't leave us behind. We thank you that for the promise that none will be left behind, but all will be taken up as the body of Christ to acknowledge the head who is there already. Lord, we do pray that will give us this hope. Give us a clear understanding of thy coming so that we have this glorious hope before us every time as we live out our life on earth, that we may look forward to his coming and to see him again. Lord, bless us, we do pray, even as we part now. Let thy blessing be upon each and every one of us. Keep us closely under thy sight and under thy word. We ask these things, Lord, in the blessed and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.